We'll be in the book of 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at an aspect of stewardship. With missions revival coming right around the corner, and this upcoming Sunday will be the second before the last Sunday that Brother Benjamin and his family will be with us. So he'll be preaching this upcoming Sunday all day for us. Wanted to give him the opportunity to preach here in the church that he was born in, right? Born in, raised in. And he won't be a stranger. He'll be back, but just want to give him the opportunity to preach here. And so wanted to deal with a couple of things on this Wednesday night and then next Wednesday night, just kind of dealing. One, probably deal with missions, and then another dealing with stewardship. But when you think of stewardship, what's the first thing, that comes to your mind?
Money.
But biblically, stewardship involves everything that God has given you. Everything that God has given you, we are a steward of it. So I never want to overemphasize the stewardship of finances without emphasizing a stewardship of life. Because if you're practicing a stewardship of life, then money is going to be a part of that. Essentially, and it even comes up in this message, I don't preach on essentially the Lord having your wallet, because if the Lord has your heart, then he's going to have your wallet. So the emphasis is on the heart. And as the Lord takes care of the heart, then that's going to take care of everything else in life. If we're not careful, we as preachers, we'll get up and we'll preach on issues. We'll get up and preach on topics rather than allowing the Lord to, through his word and Holy Spirit, penetrate the heart. And like I said, if the Lord has your heart, he's going to have everything else. And but tonight we're going to look at a law in Scripture, sowing and reaping. And tonight it will deal with finances, with stewardship. But 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 through 15. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We'll go ahead and stop right there, and then go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. And I just ask you, Lord, once again to meet with us. And just ask you, Lord, just to stir us up and challenge us tonight on this law, this promise for you, from you, that if we sow, we will reap. And that's just, it's just plainly spoken, just matter-of-factly. And that's the way it is. If we sow, we will reap. And you'll make sure of it. And again, I just ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now this is a promise from God that if you sow, you will reap. How much you sow will determine how much you reap. sow sparingly, and you will reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. Human nature is to have a desire to reap without sowing. That's human nature. We want a paycheck at times without going to work. We want the benefits of the gym without going to the gym. We want everything just about in life without having to work for it. We want it to be given to us. That's human nature. We want to reap. We are all about reaping. All about it. All about reaping. I cannot say that enough. And society is getting worse and worse about that. Wanting everything for nothing. So we're all about reaping. But we have a desire to reap without sowing. But God does not bless that. He doesn't. Society might. Culture might. American government might. They might allow you to reap without sowing. But God does not support that. You sow, you're going to reap. Now, much of human nature is, again, we want all the good, we want all the blessings, we want all the rewards without the process, without the long hours, without the hard work. That's human nature. We want to reap, but we don't want to sow. We want God to bless us, but we don't want to give. But God's blessings are set into motion by our giving. See, it takes faith to sow your seed while believing God to bring the harvest. Now, I think about even in gardening. You can plant the seed out in the ground. And I've had things not come up where I plant seed. There's been times where that has happened. You know, to some degree, when you plant a garden, it takes faith that the seed that you're putting into the ground is going to produce what you intend for it to produce. The same when you give towards the ministry. You're placing faith in God that while you're giving to the ministry and you're giving to the work and you're giving to missions, that though you cannot see it at the time that you give it, you are trusting that God is going to bless you in return. See, you can go to the convenience store, pay a couple of dollars. Well, it's more than that. A couple of dollars, maybe an investment on a candy bar and be instantly blessed. That's because we live in a materialistic world that is driven by instant gratification. The culture we live in is not faith driven. It's transactional. Instantly transactional. I give you this, you give me this. And that's the way it is. You know, and that's culture. That's in a lot of ways, we are all like that. I'm giving you this for you to do this for me. I'm giving you this for this drink. I'm buying a drink, giving you the money. You give me the drink. No drink, you don't get no money. It's transactional. You know, and that's the way we are in society. So again, culture is not faith driven. We want instant results for our money. But the Church of the Living God should be faith driven. What we're looking at tonight is the idea of sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Now, when it comes to farming, comes to gardening, the more seeds you sow, the more you're going to reap. The more you give, the more you receive. You give a lot, you're going to reap a lot. I know people, there are people that I know who are the most blessed of God financially. Sometimes they're the ones who give the most. And some people say they have it, so they give. No, they gave it when they didn't have it. Now that they have it, they're still givers. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about a couple Sunday mornings ago about God being able to trust Mary and Joseph with the blessing. Sometimes, if God can't trust us with the little that he's already given us, he can't trust us with more. He can't. Now, I know people who used to have nothing again and they gave, and now they got something, and now that they got something, it didn't change them. They're still givers, above and beyond even what they used to be able to do. Now, if God said you reap what you sow, and then we never reaped what we sowed, then for one, God's word would not be true. But then also, that wouldn't be a good God. That would be a God that only ever took from his people and never gave to his people. But we serve a God that gave all when he gave us his son. He has also given back to us so many times. We don't serve a take, and never give God. He has given us everything through his son. In verse 6, he says, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So God has established this law. It's been proven. It's been proven in our lives. This law of sowing and reaping. In the human mind, in order to have, you must have gains for one. And then you save your gains. And then you have. But God turns this entire matter around in this particular passage and says that if you sow bountifully, then you're going to reap bountifully. We would think a farmer was crazy, if he saved his seed and didn't sow it. If he sat on his seed, if his seed stayed in the barn, we'd say, how are you going to get a harvest if you're not going to go plant your seed? How in the world are you going to get a harvest? But church, when it comes to heaven's rewards and the blessings of God, if we aren't careful, we will sit on the very seed that God wants to bring a crop into our lives with, by thinking that the seed is the crop. According to verse 7, giving is a matter of the heart. God's always interested in our heart because the heart is what changes the life. And again, I said this before, I'm not a preacher who will week in and week out major on giving, and everything always comes back to money, because I know, again, if God has your heart, then God will also have your wallet. But if a preacher isn't careful, God will have the wallet of folks, but not their hearts. If God has your heart, he has your wallet, but just because God has your wallet doesn't mean he has your heart. I know people who are lost who would write a check for thousands to a church because they believe it will help them with God, especially this time of year. However that works out with taxes, I don't know. You can write it off or whatever, however that works, I don't know. I've never had enough to do that with at the end of the year to write off. But there are people that do it. And I know some churches, wealthy folks in the church, and, you know, end of the year, $40,000 for a van or this, that, and the other, something like that. That's a blessing for those places. But I know folks who are lost who will write checks to God's house. I've had a couple people this last year tell me, after helping me with something, that they figured by helping me with something that it would help them with God. But I never encourage that line of thinking. There are people who will line up at times to help the preacher, to help the pastor, because of that belief right there. They think it will put them in good favor, in good standing with God, because they did something for the preacher. But it's not so. We as humans, we have a tendency to look on the outward and miss the inward. In 1 Samuel 16:17, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, when it comes to our giving, we must give with purpose of heart in order to please the Lord. So this evening, we're going to look at sowing bountifully. Number one, giving begins with God's giving. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. So remember, God is always previous. I've said that multiple times since I've been here. It doesn't originate with me. Clarence Sexton said it at Crown. He said it. God is always previous. And it's stuck with me. And I encourage you to allow it to stick with you, because everything ultimately goes back to God in our lives. You know, the Lord never asks us to give to him without acknowledging that he's first given to us. Now, if you think about this, how quick are we to give towards someone who's given towards us? We're usually pretty quick about it. Say someone on multiple occasions giving you $1,000. And one day they call you up at a time when they're in a tight spot. And they say, I need $100 if you have it. And you have it. You'll probably very quickly give it to them. Because you recognize that they've given to you first on multiple occasions. Now, the Lord has first given to us. It would be like this if I came up to you and I said, I'll give you $100, but I need 10% of it back, that $10. If you love me, you're truly thankful for me blessing you with that $100, you might even throw in a little bit more, too. As a form of gratitude in your mind, you would do the math. You'd say, I'd be a fool not to pocket $85 of that $100 because that's more than what I started with. And I'm well into the positive here. I'm gaining more than I'm giving back. So, yes, I will take that $100 bill. And even though you gave back, you still far outgained because you were $100 richer. If I gave you a box of chocolates, an assortment of 50 chocolates as a gift, and then after giving it to you, I ask you for one of those chocolates, would you be really thankful and grateful if you kept the whole box to yourself? I mean, after all, you have 49 more after giving me one than what you started with. So you see the idea here. When it comes to God, God has already given. He just expects something from what he's given us. He provided the job. He provided the health to work, the air to breathe, your check, and whatever your check is, it's God's blessing to you. He gave it to you. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19 says this as much. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and rejoice in labor. This is the gift of God. King Solomon is saying it is okay to work and to enjoy the fruit of your labors. You went and you worked all day. You worked all week. You got that paycheck. Go get yourself something to drink, non-alcoholic. Go get yourself go get yourself something to eat. You've been working, you spent all your energy on that pay. Go get some. Take your wife out. You got a wife, take her out. Do something. I mean, it's payday, right? It's payday. Do something. It's the reward for your labors. You worked for it. So sometimes I worry about folks, and I worry about them that they're so tight, they're miserable. So tight, they're miserable. They watch other people, they're like, man, that looks good. Wish I could, sitting on $500,000 in the bank. You could get a Coca-Cola if you'd let go of $3. You could. You could be eating there too if you'd let go of it a little bit. But instead, you're a bump on a log, miserable, watching everybody else living life. People like that. Listen, King Solomon is trying to illustrate something here that, hey, you go to work, there's a reward for your work. Enjoy it. Enjoy the reward. Enjoy the fruit of your labors. It's the portion that God has rewarded you with. But with that portion, with that blessing, which King Solomon says at the end of verse 19, is the gift of God. With this gift, God expects a return. So as he has given to us, we give back. Proverbs 3:9, very prominent verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Emphasis on all. Sometimes we don't emphasize that little word in that verse there. all increase. The first fruits is off the gross. You tithe off the gross of your income. God comes first, not the government. As many of you have, I'm sure my family and I have been committed and have been for several years to give the first fruits off of every increase. So that means birthday money. I tithe off birthday money if I get it. I tithe off pastor appreciation. I tithe off Christmas money. Whatever comes through, somebody decides they're going to do something extra for me and they put it in the mailbox. It comes in the mail and I get it. Or somebody sends me an email. They got them now where they send you an email with a gift card. They got those now. Things like that. We've tried to work that out where we'll put cash in as a tithe instead of the gift card. We tried to work that out and just tithe off of every increase. If I go out and I'm preaching somewhere and I get a love offering, tithe off of the love offering. If my wife's teaching a ladies banquet or a seminar or something like that, tithe off of the love offering. Now, that's just something that we have chosen to do. And we believe it's biblical, according to this verse, to tithe off of every increase, every increase. And I know this is debated, but we also tithe off of income tax. When that comes in, primarily child tax credit, things like that, tithe off of that. So our tithe around tax time, it goes up because, you know, we got all these kids and child tax. We tithe off of that. My wife knows. If I drop dead in the next week, we're in agreement that she tithes off of the life insurance policy that she's going to get from me dying. Because we tithe off of every increase. Now, I tell you what, God has blessed us. I'm telling you, God has blessed us. He has. And I can tell you why God has blessed us. Because we give. We try to give the way God has laid it out in front of us. And if you sow, and you sow a lot, you will reap a lot. And if you could see where we started, and you could see where the Lord has brought us now, there was a time you would have walked into our house and it would have looked like all the money went to Budweiser, because it did. Didn't have much. Just didn't have much, because the money wasn't going towards life, living, enjoying life. But through getting our lives back right and our hearts back right with God, and just through giving to the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord is blessed. I encourage you to follow the biblical pattern. First off, the tithe. That's the tenth. It's a biblical principle. Second is faith, promise, missions. It's also a biblical principle. Thirdly is offerings and special projects, which is also a biblical principle. And again, we won't go into all of this, but we saw, and it's somewhat of a foreign concept to us, but in the first century church, they were selling stuff and brought it to the apostles. They were selling stuff to bring to the church. They didn't have the money. So they said, I want to part with something that I like because it's of value. And the church could use it. So as Proverbs 3:9 states, we are to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So again, it says all thine increase. It goes well beyond just monthly check or paycheck. Every financial gain in your life, you tithe on it. And I tell you this evening, you don't have to do more than what is expected of you from the Bible. But I can tell you that God will open the windows of heaven up on you if you do. And he will pour out a blessing on you, and so much you won't even be able to contain that blessing. And then when he does, you tithe the blessing. So he gave you the seed. You sowed the seed. A crop came. You take the crop and then you tithe off the crop. You're sowing even more. And it's a never-ending circle. It just keeps going around and going around and going around. I cannot tell you the times that the Lord has blessed us. I cannot tell you that just out of the blue. We were traveling to Florida in 2021 and stopped by where My old principal in high school lived, and we stopped by to meet up with him for lunch, and we were on our way on vacation, taking the boys down to Florida. We were staying in an Airbnb with Sarah's family, and we all split the house. So there was 38 of us in one house, but there was like 6 bedrooms and stuff. It was a big house, and stuff. So we went there to stay, and he hands me an envelope at lunch. Get out to the car, open it up. There's a little note that says, "Enjoy your trip. Do something nice for the kids. $1,000 in there, just out of the blue. Didn't expect that. Paid for our trip. Now, I mean, we had the money. We had the money to do it. I mean, $1,000, you know, at one time. I mean, we don't do that kind of stuff often. You know, we had the time. I mean, we had it then. But, you know, and then, you know, but the Lord did that. But I cannot tell you the times that, you know, the Lord has just come through. I cannot tell you the times this happened. Now, number two, giving brings untold blessings. You know, one can never list all his blessings, but some of them are listed in verses 9 and 10. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he gives seed to the sower. You think about this. God gives us what we need in order to be blessed. So how can we pocket what God has given us to sow in order to be blessed? If you pocket your seed, you never sow that seed. Heaven's blessings remain in heaven that are for you. They never come down into your life. God don't give us seed to save, but seed to sow. And I'm not talking about spending money like a person with no sins. I mean, we're talking about sowing seed, not spending money. You can spend money and not be sowing seed. You can't call $400 a month on McDonald's or something or fast food sowing seed. That's spending money. Or $400 a month on subscription-based entertainment. That's not sowing seed. That is spending money. So there is a difference. We're talking about sowing seed on things of eternal value. And you see, God gives us health to work, and he gives us air to breathe. Whatever you do, whatever accomplishments that you have, it all comes back to God and his blessings on you to begin with. We truly cannot glory in anything. I've said many a time, some of you also, you know what came in, you know what went out, you know what's left in the account. And it makes no sense. You say, how do you have money left over? I've said it many a times. You can't do the math on God. He performs miracles if you allow. See, we can't get to missions conference and say, I can't afford to give to missions. No, it's I can't afford not to give to missions. Which brings me to the flip side of where my family's been. When we had our finances in our own hands, when we were coming back to God, we were weak in the faith. We tithed when we felt as though we had the money to. We'd put a little extra in the plate sometimes to kind of offset. Be like, Lord, I ain't got the 10%, but I'll give you half of a 1% in the plate. We'd give when we felt like, again, we had the money to. So I can testify it was not only wrong. We were not only robbing God at times, but it's a bad financial plan to live that way. Where's the Bible for that? A lot of places. But I like point blank places. In Haggai 1:6, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. There are a lot of Christians like this here. Work a lot of hours, don't bring in much. Have food, but not enough to make them full. Have drink, but not enough to make them satisfied. Have clothes, but not enough to make them warm. They have a bag to put their earnings in, but the sack has holes in it, which means they lose money and don't know where it goes. This is when a man or woman or family is trying to work out their own finances and not giving to God properly. However, when one places their finances in God's hands and does right by Him, they have money coming in that they don't even know where it came from. So you can lose money and not know where it went, or you can gain money and not know where it came from. All depends on where you have God at in your lives and your giving. And before we move on, the transition from not enough to prospering, when you start doing things God's way, is in His time. And this is where it gets, folks. It does, because we don't always see the reward shortly after. It takes time. Now, if it was instant gratification for doing things God's way, an instant gratification of God tripling and doubling and tripling and hundredfold your investments, God's house would be the stock market. That's what it would be. It's been said, nothing grows overnight, and the farmer must be patient. And I tell you what, when you're doing that, and if you've planted gardens, it does help you with your patience, because you plant stuff and you want to see it. You know, the season's different here, but up north you would plant around Memorial Day, which is the tail end of May, right? Tail end of May, and then your harvest was around August. Couldn't go much past that. So you don't see anything even come up from the ground to about midway through June, and then it's about like this. You know, it teaches you something about patience. And then it's like your harvest is all in about 1 week. You're picking everything at that point in August. You know, and then by that time you're about done. And I think folks started planting here a while ago, right? March. Yeah, so definitely a little earlier. But it does teach you something about patience, because you do. You want it right away. We order our package, or we order something online. It'd be nice if it came that day, the day that we ordered it, you know, or the next day, at least. And I don't know how we got Prime, but I don't know how people get their packages in 2 days, because we don't get any of our Amazon packages in 2 days, and we pay for Prime. So I don't. Maybe I'm ordering from the wrong people or something. I don't know. But I mean, we just want things fast. We want it when we want it. We invest it. We pay for it. We want it right then. But that's not the way the Lord works. And in some cases, He wants to see us see an exercise of our faith that we're going to trust Him. Sometimes we got to get past a couple of hurdles. Let the Lord see, you know what, they're giving out of the right heart. That this is a life change for them. Number three, giving causes thanksgiving to God. We see in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. There's nothing quite as joyous as to be among people who are giving praises to God. And you know, joy is not brought about by circumstances. It's brought about because we are recipients of God's blessings. It's amazing how it points back to the seed. Seed in your pocket robs you of heaven's blessings. But joy and thanksgiving stems from blessings. And blessings come from the seed that we sow. If you look around, you can see this. Some of the most miserable people you may know and I know have either a little or a lot of seed that they don't sow. And because they don't sow, they aren't blessed, and they're miserable as a result. And some of the most joyous, most blessed, and most thankful and grateful people there are those who sow either a little or a lot of seed, irregardless, but are those who sow the seed as the Lord leads. Those are the blessed ones. See, God may not ask you to sow all your seed, like the widow woman with two mites in Luke 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Do you know who the biggest givers are down through the ages? They're the ones who typically have the least. This little widow lady, she is stamped throughout eternity in the Word of God for what she gave. How she gave. She has joy, I promise you. I believe she had it then. She had it after then. And since there's so much more joy in heaven than there is here, she's still got joy because she gave. Number four, giving supplies the needs of others. Notice in verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. We hear about the needs of people constantly. God says that when we obey Him in the matter of giving, giving allows us to be used of God in supplying the needs of others. Sometimes we're not too good about that and trying to help others with their needs. You see somebody in the church that's struggling and they have a need, do everything you can to try and meet that need. Number five, giving brings about the distribution of the gospel. See in verse 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So this verse says that the giving of God's people causes God's blessing in distributing the gospel. So God connects giving in the local church to the distribution of the gospel worldwide. When you give to the church here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we purchase tracts with those things. We're going to be getting more things kind of printed up as in the new year, as probably somewhere around the spring, be getting out into the community. More local missions, put an emphasis on local missions, but also global missions. You know, it's not hard to see that, you know, we're losing America, so we got to have an emphasis on local missions and church planting in America. You know, it's sad, but there's more churches closing every year than are being started. That's the way it is. It's been that trend for a long time. And, you know, there's a coffee shop up north. It was a traveling truck selling coffee out of their camper. They called it Campy. And they would sell coffee out of Campy. And it was called Frenchie Roast. And these little French bulldogs was kind of their mascot or whatever you'd call it. I don't know. But, you know, they bought a building. And though I'm excited that they bought a building, they bought an old church building. It's sad. It was a church that closed. And now the building's up for sale, and now it's going to be a coffee shop. You know, and that's sad. But it's happening. It's happening everywhere. We got to place an emphasis on church planting. When one of the men coming in for the missions revival is a man I know out of Cleveland, out of Cleveland Baptist, but he's planted a church on the east side of Cleveland, getting ready to plant another one on the west side of Cleveland, and he'll be here on that Monday night. But looking forward to having him. You know, we got to have an emphasis on America because, again, we're losing America. And there was a time where, you know, America in a lot of ways was better than it is now. We were sending missionaries overseas, and now it's sad, but we're getting missionaries from China coming to America. We're getting missionaries from the Philippines that God is calling to America. And that's just amazing to me. And to some degree, we should say, you know what? No, Lord, use us. Use us. Don't we should be sending people overseas, more overseas than what we are. But instead, other countries are observing America. And God's giving them burdens to come over here. It really picked up after 2020. You saw the mess that was going on in our streets and all these cities going around here. America just self-destructing in our big cities. Number six, giving brings the prayers of each other's on our behalf. We're getting ready to close. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. This verse shows us that those helped by our giving prays for us. What a blessing it is to have others praying for you. You know how many missionary letters that we get in, and they include the fact that they're praying for us? They want us to do as well as we want them to do well. They want us to do as much for God as we want them to do for God. And it's our giving towards them. Had we not support them, they may not even know who we are to even pray for us in a specific manner. Maybe a generalized manner. Lord, we pray for all Bible preaching churches that are sticking with it and doing things your way. We pray for them. But in a specific way, folks around the world are praying for Emmanuel Baptist Church because we have decided that we would support them in Faith Promise Missions. We would have more prayers for us at times if we were more of a blessing. In number seven, giving reminds us of God's unspeakable gift. We see in verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. So the gift here is the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for us. Our giving points back to Christ. That's why we do it. This world doesn't give in a Christ-like manner. They plan, they structure, they save, they spend frivolous, they care about me, myself, and I. They say, I have my own financial struggles. I can't worry about others. I have my own needs. I have my own wants. I have my own concerns. I have my own problems. I have my own financial goals. I cannot be worried about other people and their needs and wants and desires. I can't worry about being a blessing to others. And essentially, why is that? Because they're more worried about being a blessing to themselves. This world, by and large, sit on their seed, hoards their seed. They don't sow their seed. But again, in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.